Well, we eventually make the decision to unmute the microphone and get down to business. Good morning, good day, good afternoon, and depending upon what part of the world you're in, good night or good evening. It's not time to say good night yet. Jeff Bennett here for a Wednesday edition of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, sometimes known as Life, Liberty, and Your Good Health, which is what we attempt to concentrate on Wednesdays. I don't normally open this program with news segments, but this particular topic does deal with health, and it affects a good number of all of us who are here together each day. A topic I covered late last week, maybe early this week, I've lost track. And believe me, as busy as I've been, you do tend to lose track. My desk looks like a bomb went off on it. I've got piles of papers I have to go through and shred or throw away, or, you know, bills to pay, the usual nonsense. Got a little other business taken care of yesterday for a client. This thing has been eating me for weeks. Issues with a supplier. And as I began preparing for a program yesterday, which invariably I did not do, as most of you are aware, I came across a news-related piece that deals specifically with and for veterans. And this particular one ticked me off because I think it tells us a lot about some of the things that's wrong with the healthcare system in this country. Providing healthcare to veterans is less contentious than the vast majority of government programs. And almost everyone can agree, at least to some degree, that these veterans, we veterans, deserve some form of health care when we return from duty. The continued failures at the Department of Veterans Affairs, largely spared from the partisan battles that surrounds other aspects of health care policy, serve as a warning of the potential problems of government-run health care. That becomes our problem. The past years have revealed that the department was not even aware of the terrible problems within. Or were they? And that it has all thus far been unable to meaningfully address these problems. And they're not going to get it done for years to come. It's that simple, people. It took outside whistleblowers, extensive outside audits, congressional investigations to reveal the extent of the problems. And in some cases, the egregious levels of mismanagement made it impossible to determine the extent of the failures. Even after these diagnoses, widespread political consensus, the passage of a bill meant to address the terrible shortcomings of the status quo, the fundamental problems at the VA remain stubbornly persistent. Now, a more recent audit from the Government Accountability Office found that only 66% of claims within the agency's required time frame of 30 days or less, and that was during fiscal year 2015. And even this likely overstates their performance because there are still delays in when paper claims received are put into the system. Last week we covered a story about a guy who just was flat ignored. They never could find a way to get this guy into the system, and he ultimately died of cancer 11 months after he applied for an appointment to deal with his issue. It takes pains to note that the reviews by the GAO did not include a representative sample of claims, and thus it is not what they call generalizable. But in the GAO's limited sample, it was estimated that the delay was roughly 2 weeks, and that the department was not monitoring to ensure staff followed recommendations from a previous audit. The agency has taken some steps, but it does not expect to deploy solutions to address all the challenges until 2018 or later. Is this a way to provide health care to those who are deserving? might I suggest that all veterans matter? The main response to the scandals was the passage of the Choice Act, which created a dedicated fund that would allow veterans unable to get timely care at non-VA providers. And despite the law's intentions, administrative weaknesses have led to much lower utilization than anticipated. Provider networks had not been established. Staff were unsure when to refer veterans to the program. And as a result, actual obligations totaled only $413 million compared to the $3.2 billion anticipated. And so instead of this new mechanism, veterans unable to get timely care from VA providers instead turned to the Care in Community program, which allows vets to use other providers for certain specialty care services. The higher-than-expected use of CIC in response to the shortcomings of the Choice Act became a problem when the VA belatedly realized it would have a funding shortfall in the range of $2.75 billion, $2.34 billion of which was attributed to the CIC outlays. The VA then had to go in, obtain temporary authority to transfer funds from the Choice program to plug the funding gap. And while it's been able to forestall any serious problems by the transfer, the shortcomings of the Choice program and the inability to design and implement effective policies to address the previous problems give little confidence in the department's ability to respond to problems and failures in any meaningful way. And if it's giving little confidence in those arenas, what kind of confidence could it possibly give in the quality of health care that might eventually be offered to these veterans? I would submit that if it can be so difficult for one of the less controversial aspects of government to resolve a failure that everyone agrees should be addressed, imagine the difficulties when two sides are bitterly opposed about what the problem is and what should be done. And yet they want us to all jump on the Obamacare bandwagon. I have a problem with it. I am thankful, I guess, that I have Medicare. Why? Because I'm so excited about my age, I could care less about it. It's just another day, my friends. But anytime the government gets involved, it's pretty spooky. Fortunately, with Medicare, I'm not having to rely on government assistance, as it were. I've paid into the system. It's my money that's paying for that which I receive. Fortunately, it's through an insurance company that I don't even have to worry about paying. They just take it out of my Social Security benefits. Which is interesting, because that means effectively I'd be pulling about $1,500 or $1,400 and some a month out of Social Security, but $104 or $105 of it goes to pay for my medical benefits that for some reason I'd already paid for. And yet, we now go listen to a government that gives us some other interesting issues. Consider, over the years, on this program alone, let alone how many other locations, have we, I can't see this, this should do it, there we go, fluoridation. Fluoridation came about, fluoride in the water in this country, because of an accident that happened at one of the testing centers back east when they were preparing to develop a new bomb. There was a leak. The leak went downwind. It made people ill. It killed livestock. It killed fruits, vegetables, be it from legitimate farmers or otherwise. It took almost 40 years for there to ever be an acknowledgement of this. But there's an offshoot in all of it. It's called fluoridation. Now, the U.S. government has finally admitted that they have overdosed Americans on fluoride. And for the first time since 1962, is lowering their recommended level of fluoride in drinking water. Isn't that exciting? Simply amazing. The Center for Disease Control reports that about 40% of Americans have dental fluorosis, a condition referring to changes in the appearance of tooth enamel, from chalky-looking lines to splotches to dark staining and pitting, all caused by long-term ingestion of fluoride during the time teeth are forming. Now, the optimal fluoride level in drinking water to prevent tooth decay, according to the government, should be 0.7 milligrams of fluoride per liter of water. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced this Monday, down from an accepted previous fluoride level of 0.7 to 1.2 of water. Health and Human Services has stated that the newly recommended change is because, quote, Americans now have access to more sources of fluoride, including toothpaste and mouth rinses, than they did when municipal officials first began adding the mineral to water supplies across the United States. Federal health officials say the new recommended level will maintain the protective benefits of water fluoridation and reduce the occurrence of dental fluorosis. So they're still using the same bogus story to cover up their errors from the 1940s. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, at our website, drkelly.info, if you look back in the archives, there's a search engine on the page. Just go type in the word fluoride. It'll pop up every article that even uses the word fluoride in it. But the one you want, well, actually, I can take even better than that. Go to the link called Water, Water Everywhere. You'll find the oldest entry in there. Deals with fluoride, your teeth, and the atom bomb. It'll fill you in on the whole story. And the story of how that study and how that particular commentary came about is quite unique unto itself. We'll maybe spend some time on that another day. Maybe I should just recant it and tell the story all over. It's been a long time. Probably been 3-4 years, maybe longer. Unreal. Should we be adding a drug to our public drinking water? As many of us are aware, we cannot fully control the dose of a drug that's added to the public water supply. So, therefore, it begs the question, should we be adding a drug of known toxicity to our public water supply at all? Or should we be approaching fluoride intake from the same perspective we do with other drugs? Keep something in mind. I read a story this morning about the amount of drug residue that is coming out in the public water supply up in Washington State. Dr. Mercola comes back with a response on the issue. He says, if a doctor somehow managed to force a patient to take a drug with known toxic effects and failed to inform them of the dosage and frequency, and never monitored their health outcome, they would be medically negligent and liable to legal and medical board action. Now, the theory is that fluoride is added to public drinking water in order to prevent tooth decay. And yet, fluoride has never been officially approved by the FDA for the prevention of cavities. Did you know that? Why is it all these years later the FDA has not even approved it? And yet they're sure cramming it down our throat. If you recall the story of William Donald Kelly, Dr. Kelly was a brilliant dental student going to Baylor, several other universities to take different steps along his pathway. He was approached by the federal government at one point in time during his schooling, and they invited him to become the nation's first dental czar, are the words that Kelly used. He said, that sounds very interesting. What would my duties be? chiefly they wanted him to go around, travel around the country, meeting with municipalities and states and counties, et cetera, to sell them on the benefits of fluoridation in the water. This is back in the 1950s. He told them to go to hell. Interesting. He understood, even then. Matter of fact, there's an entire section in his book, Victory Over Cancer, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation, that deals with that very issue. The poisons that are being administered to us all through the practice of dentistry, because they refuse to acknowledge the poison that fluoridation is. And so the fact is, my friends, that even with these new lowered acceptable limits of fluoride, we cannot control or properly monitor the total amount of fluoride being ingested by the public when we take into account the amount of fluoride that people are getting from food, from toothpaste, from mouth rinses and beverages, etc., etc. And so, we find that dental fluorosis is not the only concern with fluoride ingestion. Dental fluorosis, according to Dr. Mercola, is the most visible form of fluorosis, but it's far from being just cosmetic and of no further concern. You see, it can also be an indication that the rest of your body, like your bones, your internal organs, your brain, have all been overexposed to fluoride as well. In other words, if fluoride is having a visually detrimental effect on the surface of your teeth, you can be guaranteed that it's also damaging other parts of your body, like your bones. And skeletal fluorosis, which is not visible, is very difficult to distinguish from arthritis. Let me give you some symptoms. These are symptoms which are indicative of early clinical stage skeletal fluorosis, and they include a burning, prickling, and tingling in your limbs, muscle weakness, chronic fatigue, gastrointestinal disorders, and reduced appetite and weight loss. Now, the second clinical stage of skeletal fluorosis is characterized by stiff joints and or constant pain in your bones, brittle bones, osteosclerosis, anemia, calcification of the tendons or ligaments of the ribs and the pelvis, osteoporosis in the long bones. Now, it is important to remember, my friends, that once fluoride is swallowed, it does not directly and solely collect in your teeth enamel. Rather, it accumulates throughout your body's bones and tissues. And interestingly enough, both the CDC and the World Health Organization have noted that there is no discernible difference in tooth decay between developed countries that fluoridate their water and those that do not. And even more cause for concern comes from a 2006 NRC report, which stated for the first time that fluoride is an endocrine disruptor, which means it has the potential to play havoc with the biology and fate of humans and animals. That, my friends, is far more significant than severe dental fluorosis. You stay with us on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz and Your Good Health, and we'll continue to bring more and more of this kind of information to you. It is walking about your front yard. You got to check in. You guys are funny. Chat room is open. Hope you'll join us. I actually began to get, to be honest with you, I've probably got 400 columns that I could just get to work and get posted at the Kelly site. Some of them are redundant of others. Most of those I try to eliminate, reduce, get them out of my bank, as it were, get them out of my library. as I mentioned yesterday, I've been horribly remiss in keeping these websites up and going. I have been busy, very, very busy. And I'm getting a lot done. Some of the news headlines I'm looking at today were kind of interesting, and I'll just take a few minutes to hit you with some of these, and some of them we may take a look at posting later. I'm just not sure. 46,000 Americans killed every year by drug overdoses, most of them FDA-approved big pharma opioids. EPA directly responsible for the mass bee die-offs, something we covered some months ago. As the bees die, the ability for propagation and pollination becomes eliminated, hence GMO. Salmon caught near Seattle have proven to be inundated with antidepressants and cocaine and more. So wait a minute, we've got salmon that are ingesting coke?
Hey, man, what's that little hook over there?
Well, they don't catch salmon with hooks, but... Detox from heavy metals, naturally. You can add some cilantro to your sandwiches or salads. Interesting. Secretive food industry is jeopardizing the public's right to information. We're dealing with GMOs once again. GlaxoSmithKline was fined less than $100,000 for killing 14 babies during vaccine trials. Oh, back to the vaccination business again. This vaccine business seems to go on year-round now. It's not just happening in the fall and the early winter. There's something going on with vaccines on a continual basis. Interesting. Glyphosate and GM soy increasing the risk of infertility and death. What else we got here? This was an interesting one. Hillary Clinton, the champion of pro-choice and support of women and minorities and children. Is that so? So why does she condone the use of government power to strip away women's rights when it comes to vaccines? All of that pro-choice banter turns out to be total BS when it comes to Hillary Goddamn Clinton. You see, Hillary wants to take away women's rights to say no to mandatory vaccines that damage their children. So it's do as I say, not as I do. Hillary Clinton can do what she damn well pleases, but damn with the rest of us. Big Pharma has marketed antidepressants to children even after hiding the risk of suicide and aggression revealed by clinical trials. The beat goes on, my friends. The beat goes on. Coming up in the next set, we're going to talk a little bit about radiation. And there's different ways that radiation we can be exposed to it. Certainly X-rays, CAT scans, Fukushima. We're going to talk about some of the ways that you can treat your radiation exposure. How do you do that? Something as simple as classical homeopathy. I saw an article yesterday about Fukushima, how it's just not bouncing back. Sections of the land still on fire today. Strange sea beasts washing up on shores all over the world. Beasts that live deeper than the deep. Beasts that are coming up physically deformed, fish that are coming up physically deformed, various forms of sea life that have never been seen by the modern man, all of which is being affected by radiation from Fukushima. Some scientists, some acknowledged individuals have been continuing to talk about Fukushima, but the majority, the vast majority of politicians, etc., etc., ignore it. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this issue. Stay with us as we listen to Ella, which is always a pleasure. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
I have a powerful anesthesia in my fist, and the perfect wrist to give your neck a twist. There are hammerlock holds, I've mastered a few, and everything I've got belongs to you. Share for share, share alike, you get struck each time I strike. You for me, me for you, I'll give you plenty of nothing. I'm not yours for better, but for worse, and I've learned to give the well-known witch's curse. I've a terrible tongue, a temper for two, and everything I've got belongs to you. I have eyes for you to give you death.
What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing.
What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
The NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose.
Liberals are so smart, how come they lose always?
Hey!
And with a straight face, you're gonna tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So, 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yet you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is, there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect. www.themicroeffect.com.
Come on, get set to go. Walking on the Saddler's Street. Just get ready to be right up the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a bitter bat call? With a happy tune in your step, life can be so divine. Right up the sunny side of life. Show it, follow it, show it, some more, follow it, show. Surely get what you need. Just direct your feet right up the sunny side of life, the very sunny. Come on, come now. I know for sure there is a way to be on the sunny side of life. That you have to do is listen to the sound that goes on to stay. Yes, it will never ever fade away.
Just what I need. Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to our second set. Today's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett here. This program is, if you want to say sponsored by, it's not proper words, but basically brought to you by our website, drkelly.info. It's a website where you can gain access to a wide, vast, expanded version of different health-related issues, whether it's male or female issues, dealing with heart disease, dental-related issues. Fluorosis is one of the things we talked about during the first set. Certainly issues on cancer, warnings, helpful ways that you can prevent or help overcome it. We have a section called Kelly's Kitchen, which deals with dietary and nutritional-related issues. Areas on vaccinations, areas on drugs, most of them pharmaceuticals crap. We keep busy with it. You can find us at Dr. Kelly, that's drkelly.info. Hope you'll take some time to visit, and visit fairly often. Spend the time. You need to do that. We began talking at the end of the first set about Fukushima. I received a note from Granny during the break talking about, you know, not buying much fish anymore, and certainly not Pacific-grown fish or Pacific-harvested. The problem is, all of our waterways are connected in one form or another. It's making its way all over the world. We're having some oddities take place on our eastern seaboards as well. I love fish, but I no longer can trust the darn stuff. And now that Fukushima has been spreading its noxious radiation across much of the world, increasing radiation exposure, among others, in the western coastal areas of the American continent, an alternative method of treating such exposure with classical homeopathy can be quite useful. And this is something you need to listen up to. Because this, you don't like fish, huh, honey? I love fish. Another source of radiation exposure is radiation therapy for cancer. Oh, yes. You can take the classic homeopathic remedies irrespective of any other medicines you might be taking. And there'll be no interference or cross effects. That's because classical homeopathic remedies contain no chemicals, no drugs, only information in pills made of lactose, in other words, milk and sugar. Further sources of radiation exposure are X-rays for dental treatment, mammograms, CAT scans. Fluoroscopy. That's the use of X-rays to obtain moving images of your body. Now, as usual, in classical homeopathy, how you deal with radiation exposure will depend on the symptoms you have. In other words, the symptom picture, your vital force or energy level, your will to live, and the amount of your radiation exposure. All of these things will determine the outcome of your treatment. So we're going to spend a little time talking about this issue today. Now, if it's possible, and this becomes imperative, locate a classical homeopath to treat your radiation exposure. Otherwise, you would do well to take a classical homeopathic remedy. And we're going to indicate some here today. But let's get back to the beginning. What are classical homeopathic remedies? They're tested on healthy people in what is called a proving, where the participants each take the classical homeopathically prepared remedy being proven for some weeks, and the symptoms these remedies produce are recorded by a proving supervisor. And the symptoms include mental, emotional, and physical ones, all together forming a remedy picture. Thousands of remedies have been proven in the course of the more than 200-year existence of classical homeopathy, and they've been collected in books called Materia Medicis. More than 200-year existence of classical homeopathy, and yet people talk about it as if it's just something that popped up 10, 15 years ago. The law of similars, on which classical homeopathy is based, states that a sick person should take the remedy, which is produce the remedy picture that is most similar to his or her symptom picture. Doing so will lead to a cure. And by the way, these same rules apply to animals. We're talking about the four-legged type, of course. There are mental and physical states that you might experience. There's stuff that can be ordered. There's stuff that can be purchased online. I think you're better off to go get the advice first. A couple of interesting things that I did back in late October, November, while I was back east. I was privileged to meet with a very unusual chiropractor whose story I recanted upon my return. But I also met two other people. One was a homeopathic doctor. I learned much that day. An intense interview takes place. You're being monitored while you're talking, electronically speaking, because your body is sending off its own answers. What comes out of your mouth and what your body sends out are two different things. Think about that. Anything that you may be afflicted by, you may have one or more symptoms indicated for a classical homeopathic remedy. Maybe just one. One has to select the remedy that seems most similar to your own state. There's a couple of websites you can go to. Homeopathic pharmacies. You can get some of the remedies. I don't think I'm going to put that information out right now. It's the kind of thing that we may want to put out on the website later. That way you'll have some distinctive links. But there are some radiation exposure remedies. for classical homeopathic remedy, Arsenicum Album, or ARS. Its mental state says you feel very anxious and fearful of death, worried about your family members. And what about your physical state? You suffer from vomiting, nausea, headaches, fatigue, fever, possibly a short period of skin redness, loss of appetite, abdominal pain. You feel worse at night. Both of those could be my daughter. There's another classical homeopathic remedy called cadmium sulfuricum. In the mental state, you have a horror of being alone and of work. You experience apprehension at the approach of someone. You have anxiety before evacuating the bowels. You're irritable. From the physical state, you experience violent nausea. Nausea from anything, touching your lips. You experience intense retching, black vomit. You vomit mucus, green slime, blood. You feel really physically weak and exhausted. You want small drinks of water, which are vomited right away. They're burning, cutting stomach pains. Now, whether you manifest some of these states or not, it can be useful to take a dose of 200C just before and after any X-ray procedure to alleviate its harmful effects, or you could take the remedy called X-ray, which is provided in this information I'm sharing with you. Once again, this we're going to have posted later today. Classic homeopathic remedy, cadmium lodatum. Or lodatum, L-O-D-A-T-U-M. Maybe you did not protect your thyroid with crude doses of potassium iodide. Cadmium lidotum, iodatum, is a great, you're welcome, Neil, great gland remedy for cervical glands, tonsils, thyroid, mammary glands, lymphatic system, your testicles, your ovaries. The mental state, you hate everything and everybody. Self-pity. Whoops. I know who that one falls into. The physical state, your abdomen's bloated. Your anus and rectum itch, but only during the day. You suffer from constipation. You have frequent desire to evacuate the bowels. I could be a little bit more verbal with that, but I won't be. Classic homeopathic remedy? Calendula cream. Important remedy for skin conditions such as rashes and ulcers. Apply it daily until you see improvement. Classical homeopathic remedy, Cianthus. Excellent spleen remedy. And as radiation exposure can affect the spleen. Mental state. You're low-spirited. Do not care about anything. Physical state. You feel chilly. No appetite. Your spleen is enlarged. Classic homeopathic remedy, Radium Bromatum, Bromatum. Mental state. You want to be with people. You're afraid of being alone in the dark. You feel tired, irritable. Physical state. You have red skin, itching, burning, as if on fire, swelling. You suffer from skin ulcers. Remedy? SOL. You see, this classical homeopathic remedy is made from the rays of the sun by means of a special procedure. Sol, S-O-L. Mental state. You have anxiety, anxiousness in all your nerves passing from the heart to the stomach. You're frightened at the approach of someone. Physical state. You have an inclination to vomit. You suffer from headaches. You have dermatitis. Classical homeopathic remedy, uranium nitrosum, or urine hyphen N. That's urine, U-R-A-N, uran hyphen N. Mental state, you're in a bad mood all day. Physical state, you don't feel well all day. You're abnormally thin due to a gradual wasting away of the flesh. There's an accumulation of fluid in your body, edema. Classical homeopathic remedy, X-ray. The classical homeopathic remedy is made from X-rays by means of a special procedure. Excuse me, I've got something caught in my throat and I'm choking on it. We could keep going on with these various different examples, mental state, physical states. To read it is going to be much better than hearing about it, because there's links. There's just too darn much good information in here. But let's talk about radiation exposure. And that could be from X-rays, that could be from Fukushima, whatever. Classical homeopathic remedies are made in different strengths, called potencies. And when you order a remedy, it's quite important to also indicate the potency, which here would be 200C. The potencies 30C and 1M can also be useful, but according to the author here, we're going to stick to 200Cs for starters. When symptoms of radiation exposure are noted, take one pill with a potency of 200C one time. If there's no change within an hour or so, the remedy is probably incorrect, no problem, and another should be tried. If you noted an increase in your well-being and or energy, then that's an excellent indicator. Stick with the remedy. If you note a change for better or worse, wait until the change is passed. If you feel better, don't take any more until you get worse again. If there is no change, try another remedy or another dosage. Basically, we're taught that homeopathic remedies work like opening a lock with a key. If the key fits, the lock will open. Otherwise, it won't. And then you have to try another key until you find the right one. That's one of the best descriptions of homeopathy I've ever read. And we could go on. There's ways to ingest. There's ways to avoid. Once we post this, you're going to have some links where you can contact a few. Hahnemann Labs, Homeopathy Overnight. There's some links we'll get some benefit out of. We'll get it to you. What else? We got stuff coming in here. I got a note from Brad during the last break. He says, by grace of God, we had enough folks in our local community to pressure our city council to end the 50-year water fluoridation ordinance a couple of years ago. The kicker was, only a couple people besides myself and my dad who are actually on the municipal water system were there to protest. The other 80% who spoke up live out of town. Of course, all the local dentists were there, but I need not say which side they were on. Which is typical. Just typical. Oh, boy. What is this? Oh, goody. There's a mattress firm for sale in Illinois, Mount Prospect. It can be yours for only $2,830,000. Are you kidding me? I don't care to own a mattress business. People come into your store with their sick little kids crawling all over the mattresses. Insane. Joe Sixpack says there's a nuke plant in New York which is in trouble. Indian Point leaking badly. Yeah, it has been for a while. But they just keep it up and running. I guess they don't care. I guess they just don't care. How sickening. How absolutely sickening, my friends. Question. Why is cancer more common in certain parts of the body? Cells in the lungs and bone are more likely to be attacked by cancer. And some scientists have discovered that when cells are squeezed inside stiff, rigid body tissues, like the lungs, it becomes more vulnerable to the genetic mutations that can trigger cancer. Now, there's dozens of different forms of cancer, some more deadly than others. Well, no, I disagree with that. There are dozens of different names for cancer. based upon where it's decided to manifest. The lungs, the colon, the breasts, the, you know, penile, testicular, brain cancer, eye cancer, it goes on and on and on. All that does is indicate where the cancer is manifested. But understand that this dis-ease can invade any part of the body. And it appears when cells grow out of control and crowd out the healthy, normal cells. And that is exactly what Kelly tried to teach us so many years ago. Cancer takes many forms. It starts in the lungs, the breasts, the colon, the blood, the skin. And some forms of the disease grow and spread quickly, making them more deadly. And while scientists understand the so-called types of the disease are different, why that is so remains a question experts strive to answer. But they're not all that different. Cancer is cancer at cancer. Now there's a new study which has shed light on the issue. A team of scientists have discovered that, I don't know who's calling me. Oh, geez, hold on. Get some music on, honey, quick. Good morning, it's Jeff.
To get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone, to get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all lovers waiting on the faraway shore.
under the starlit cover, use all your magic charms. Ray, let your sweet enchantment bind him, then I shall wait to find him here in my lonely arms. Once we knew the joy of girl in love with boy, but he made a toy of romance. Moon ray, put an end to all my sorrow. Bless me with sweet tomorrow. Bring back my love to me.
We are back. My apologies. I took that call thinking that it might have been my granddaughter's school. Turned out to be a local client of mine who needed to inquire about picking up some books. Welcome back to the second hour. Life, liberty, and all that jazz. Dealing with health-related issues today. And I have to send this email out to the woman who just called very quickly. And we'll kind of go from there. How's your life going today? How y'all feeling? I'm actually doing very well since I returned on this last trip to New York. It's been interesting. I have thrown myself into a massive amount of work. And most of it is it's not even related to things professional. Stuff I've had to do around my office, my abode. And I'm finding that it's keeping me feeling good. Goes the darn phone again. Oh, boy, it just never quits. Stupid people.
How do you order this book?
Well, if you read the instructions, which they never do, it'll explain it all to you. Oh, my goodness. Give me just a second here. All right, this is done. I can send this out of here. Rarely do I get involved with that type of situation, but I have to do it here. Okay, we got that stuff. All right, we're in good shape. All right, she got it all. Yeah, it never fails. When phone calls come into my office line while I'm on the air, then obviously it's someone who's not aware. Those things happen. We survive. We thrive. Talking about cancer, which is typically what we need to do on this program, but I don't want to concentrate on it solely. There's many, many other health issues we need to discuss. We began talking about cancer being not just one disease. Well, I disagree with that. It is a single disease that takes on many different forms. The lungs, the breast, the colon, the blood, the skin, etc., etc., the brain. A team of scientists, as we shared before I had to inadvertently walk away, have discovered that when cells are squeezed inside tough, stiff body tissues, such as the lungs and the bone, they are more vulnerable to the genetic mutations that cause cancer. Now, when cancer invades soft tissues, the brain, bone marrow, these genetic abnormalities are less likely, scientists at the University of Pennsylvania have found. They believe the reason lies in the stress forces that act on cancer cells when they move and divide. Well, stress is... Excuse me, I am having a rough day here. Stress is something I've been under a lot of these past few months. I've made a decision, I don't like it. Somebody sent me a text earlier today talking about hoping that I will have a day full of hope. My instant response was that Jesse Jackson once used the term, keep hope alive. The comment that I responded to went off in a different direction. Now what? My God, this is insane. It just keeps coming in. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I will tell her that. She knows I'm on the air. She keeps bugging me. What is it with these women? They have to have an answer now. They don't care what you're doing. They always have to have an answer right now. Unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. My comment to the individual was, Jesse Jackson once stated, keep hope alive. I've decided that I must create my own hope. Yes, I have bad moments that can no longer allow bad days to influence me. That is what my approach has become. I know that cancer can be caused and expanded by stress. I've been under way too much of it lately. Some issues I'm still going to have to deal with. Other issues I'm taking control of because I have to. Each and every one of us must consider that. Stress forces acts on cancer cells when they move and divide. Researchers say the more rigid the tissue structure, the harder it is for the body to repair the damaged DNA or genetic mutations. Tumors arising in stiff tissues exhibited mutation rates and chromosomal variations 100 times higher than those seen in soft tissues. Dr. Jerome Irianto of University of PA said that basically, we hypothesize that stiffer tissues with their denser matrix and smaller constrictions cause more nucleus deformation, or deformation, which damages the nucleus. Now, to investigate the effect, the researchers set up an experiment in which cancer cells were made to migrate through thin plastic filters pierced by tiny holes. And when the cells had to force their way through the 3-micrometer-wide holes, they accumulated more DNA damage than when they passed through larger 8-micrometer-wide holes. Further experiments showed that DNA repair proteins were prevented from doing their job by too much squeezing. What we're addressing right now, according to Dr. Irianto, is whether this constricted migration with molecular damage and segregation will translate to genomic instability, which is a hallmark of cancer. You see, cancer needs to invade before it can spread, and that invasion itself could cause mutations. That research, presented by the Biophysical Society's annual meeting in Los Angeles. Interesting. We have a section on the Kelly website which has always been kind of fun. And it's fun because it's a little tongue-in-cheek. I'm not going to make my usual comment regarding that. Yeah, last time I posted anything at drkelly.info was on the 26th, my birthday. Green tea may cut heart disease risk. The day before, and this is an extremely important article for almost every one of you out there. How many of you are running around with cell phones? Cell phones, Wi-Fi. Cell phones are cooking your reproductive organs, for which some of you may not care any longer, and causing an epidemic of cancer. And that portion you should care about immediately. Cell phones. And we're all using them. And we're all stuck with them. We have a section on the Kelly website entitled Hemp to the Jive. Federal government admits in newly funded research that compounds found in marijuana have an unprecedented ability to go in and kill brain tumors without any negative side effects. But you know what? You can't have it. You take a look at some of the columns we have posted there. Cannabis oil cures terminal cancer in 3-year-old after pharmaceutical drugs failed. 100+ studies concur that cannabis beats cancer, yet it's still not legal. A image that states, just a thought, marijuana has 34 cures for cancer and is not FDA approved. Chemotherapy was discovered by poisoning people with mustard gas and is FDA approved. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Some more headlines. Cannabis oil cures man's cancer after he was given 18 months to live. Headline, biologist explains how marijuana causes tumor cells to commit suicide. Headline, federal government admits marijuana kills brain tumors, but you still can't have it. Headline, how cannabis can treat cancer. Headline, DAGA keeps me alive. Headline, DEA is not hemp to the jive. That's a column I originally posted in October of 2000. The question was asked, why do I post this series? Education for one. To set the record straight for another. I originally published in October of 2000 when the at that time, more up-to-date version of the Kelly website was developed. We republished it on January the 6th of 2001. And then in this latest incarnation, which is now about 4 years old, of the Kelly website, we chose to move it over. Too important to lose it. And hence, the category, Hemp to the Jive. Now, having said all that, let's move in another direction. Well, no, we'll extend the direction. As I post a question to you, could marijuana replace these five major pharmaceutical drugs? Look, it's about time that the U.S. government's war on drugs is dwindling. People across the country are becoming educated enough about medical marijuana to enjoy its numerous benefits. But you see, this plant was always a nemesis to Big Pharma because they knew just how powerful it could truly be. And they couldn't find a way to tap into those profits. But now a new study published in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Review reveals that people are increasingly substituting prescription medications, alcohol, and illicit drugs with DAGA, cannabis. Now for their study, 473 adult cannabis users were surveyed by the Center for Addictions Research of British Columbia. And more than 86% of the respondents reported giving up one or more of the substances for marijuana. and most shocking to the billion-dollar pharma companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca, etc., would be the fact that the majority, 80.6%, said they were forgoing pharmaceuticals for the non-toxic alternative. Adults under 40 were likely to forgo all three, alcohol, other illicit drugs, and big pharma, for medical marijuana. And so with that in mind, let us share with you at least five drugs that could be replaced by medical marijuana. Painkillers like Vicodin. Recent studies have made it all too clear that marijuana can have a profoundly positive effect on pain. And it's also safer to use them than pills like Vicodin, which have adverse side effects and can be very addictive. You don't believe me? Turn on your television at night and watch for all the ads. Oh, yeah. All the ads for the various medicines that Big Pharma wants to cram down our throat, and then read their disclaimers. Listen to their disclaimers, which take up more ad time than the ads themselves do. According to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 44 Americans die each day from painkiller overdose. And though an Oxford University study said that cannabis simply makes the pain more bearable and doesn't really reduce it, additional scientific evidence says that cannabinoids possess pain-relieving properties, and some clinical evidence supports their medical use for patients suffering from painful conditions and chronic pain for a number of health conditions. Marijuana is one of nature's best painkillers. It's that damn simple. Now, I, myself, have never been one that's been into it. Okay? It's just not my thing. But I'm not going to knock those who have found medical benefit out of it. What they do for their mental is their problem. But from a health standpoint, if it's having some benefits, why not? Why in the world would you not want to prescribe something that has got that much benefit to it? Think about that. Is that thing going to print? Unreal. This woman's still driving me nuts. I'm trying to get this darn stuff done, and she's driving me crazy. I'm doing a show. It's not my fault you called during work hours. Jeez, lady. Here's another drug. What about Xanax? Anti-anxiety medications. Some people cannot treat anxiety with cannabis. But for others that have acute symptoms of anxiety and paranoia, it can be better than a slice of cake and birthday presents. Hey, man. Sativas, which are associated with cerebral highs, can sometimes induce anxiety, especially for infrequent users. Indica strains of marijuana have known to reduce anxiety. And what about Adderall? It's a stimulant. And just like people with anxiety should be careful with sativa strains of cannabis, people who want to get rid of prescriptions like Adderall would be well advised to use sativas instead of indicas for problems like ADHD, inability to focus. I like Dr. Dave's comment. Topical marijuana also works great for things like joint pain, no pun intended, and there is zero psych effect. Just makes the pain go out. What are some of the other drugs? Ambien. It's a sleep aid. Now, that's something I've never had any desire to do, is take sleep aids. Number one, when I finally get to bed, in most cases, I'm ready to go to bed. All kinds of studies showing that sleep aids can be bad for the long term and for healthful sleep. And in some drastic cases, they've been linked to shootings. Good news is that, aside from exercising and eating right, medical marijuana is one of the best ways to induce a good night's sleep. Studies and anecdotal reports suggest that it's safer and similarly effective at treating insomnia than prescription drugs like Ambien. Zoloft. That word Zoloft is great. It reminds me of a term Johnny Carson used to use. I don't know if you guys get some of the oddball television stations that are out there that are now playing a lot of the old programs from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. Johnny Carson's program, The Tonight Show, is being rerun. And I'll tell you what, the few times I get to watch it, it's well worth it. Because I can't stand any of these new talk show hosts. They're terrible. They're just after a whole generation, a whole different mentality. I can't get off on them. Carson, one of his favorite words was Zoftig. But no, this is an antidepressant called Zoloft. I can see how they'd be confused. Some strains of cannabis are better for treating depression than others, but there are numerous studies showing that medical marijuana overall is effective for those who suffer from debilitating depression. Recent studies even suggest a link between depression and the body's endocannabinoid system, which would help explain why so many favor cannabis over legal pharmaceutical alternatives. Theocrat says, I'm convinced that the TPTB made marijuana illegal because it was a medication you could grow yourself. I don't disagree with that. Not one bit. This has wound up to be an interesting show, the continual interruptions I've received. I don't have to be answering the calls, but this is a local client. She's been a good customer. Every couple months she's in here picking up more books. And, why not? So I'm glad I answered her call. And she's got a sister that's in from out of town that's grabbing a couple of her books, and she wants to replace them, so she had the sister payola. Which, if you've been around any length of time, the term payola comes out of the game show rigging of the 1950s and early 60s. Unreal. Interesting. Ancient German remedy that unclogs arteries, prevents infections, boosts the immune system. No, we're not going to get into that today, but I found it an interesting headline. I'll get a little bit better look at it later. One of the things we learn about cancer is, and I just blanked, cancer cannot survive in an alkaline state. They love the acidic state. There's 10 foods, 10 alkaline foods that we should be considering eating each and every day. What are those foods? Let's take a fast run through. This is just a kind of an interjection to where I normally was going to go here. Avocados. Ripe bananas. Almonds. Makes sense to me. Kelly developed what he called the almond diet. Remember, most nuts are acidic, but almonds and almond milk are an incredible source of health, vitality, and alkalinity. They help to lower your cholesterol. They improve your brain function. They improve your digestion and leave your body with a perfectly balanced alkalinity. That's why Kelly always carried a bag of almonds with him. There were times I thought that that's all he ate. Asparagus, one of my absolute favorite vegetables. Avocados, something about avocados I just never liked. And yet through a total quirk I had some a little while ago and said, you know what, this stuff tastes a hell of a lot better than it looks. I mean, in its guacamole state, it reminds me of something in a dirty diaper in a baby. Sorry, but that's how I see it. Some of the other alkaline foods that we can find quite healthy. Cayenne pepper. Papaya. Garlic, of course, we've discussed that many, many times. Broccoli, my second. Actually, it's probably my first favorite vegetable. Broccoli and asparagus, I absolutely love them both. Oh, lemons is another one. Every time you go to the restaurant, would you like lemon in your water? Why would you say no? Unless you're just concerned about the filth of the hands of the dishwasher that probably sliced those lemons. I don't know. It's one of the most alkalizing foods available, which makes a great idea to add slices of lemon or lemon juice to your daily glasses of water. Papaya, they're great on the digestion. They soothe multiple digestive ailments and disorders due to its highly nutritious and alkalizing flesh, which is packed with fiber, water, vitamins, and minerals for better health. Oh, by the way, watermelon. Yep. Watermelon is one of the 10 best foods you can eat for alkalinity. Packed with vitamins, minerals, electrolyte balancing water, the high fiber and water content make it a great food for eliminating toxins, as well as giving you a good flush of alkalinity. And you don't have to have that watermelon with a piece of fried chicken either. Joe Sixpack says, I think William Randolph Hearst had something to do with it, because he wanted the newsprint in America to be made out of pine trees instead of hemp. We're talking about the banning of marijuana. Hearst Company was a major consumer of the cheap tree pulp paper that had replaced hemp paper in the late 19th century. The Hearst Corporation was also a major logging company, produced DuPont's chemical-drenched tree pulp paper, which yellowed and fell apart after a short time. Maybe that's how they came up with legal pads, huh? Simply amazing. Cancer. It was 90 degrees outside yesterday. Boy, it was a beautifully comfortable 90 degrees. I spent some time working outdoors. Gets me my shot of vitamin D for the day. Trimming, cutting. I've got an issue with my sprinklers, which miraculously ceased working while I was away. The ones in the front come on, but the ones in the back don't. As a matter of fact, I was out in my garage the other night, and I heard water running. I said, what the hell's going on? And noticed that my timer had completely flipped over 12 hours. What do you mean? What is that? What are you saying? I'm saying you don't have to have it with a piece of fried chicken. Is that what you're referencing? I have my angel talking to me on the side while I'm delivering the program today, so we've got to see what's going on. It's been in the 50s there. Oh, honey, it was 90 here yesterday. Yeah, it was great. I'm out in shorts and a T-shirt, barefoot. I'm living it. Three solid days of working in the garage, still doing some fine-tuning. Did some work outdoors, did some work moving some stuff around in from one bedroom to the next. Got a lot of stuff done. You know what? You know what I had to eat yesterday? What was yesterday? Tuesday? I think yesterday I went and had a really good club sandwich at Subway. That's all I had to eat yesterday. Oh, last night I had a piece of Boston cream pie. I don't care. But because I've kind of backed off on the amount I'm eating, I'm getting back to where I was when I was at my boy's house for 10 months. Skin cancer. When it gets to be 90 degrees outside and 100 degrees and you start getting yourself partially naked and you're working out there in the sun, you start facing the potential of skin cancer. But researchers in Australia found that taking vitamin B3 on a daily basis can prevent skin cancers. People with a history of skin cancers who took the vitamin B3 in the study had a 23% lower rate of getting new skin cancers. The research used 500 milligrams of vitamin B3 twice a day for 1 year, and the scientists think that the preventive effect begins as soon as 3 months after taking the vitamins. B3 can be found in supplement form as well as in many food sources. Now, this research was conducted at the University of Sydney in Australia. Location was significant because Australia has a higher incidence of skin cancers than anywhere else in the world. Study participants were selected from people who had had two skin cancers in the previous 5 years, and the type of cancer studied were both basal and squamous, not the more deadly type of skin cancer known as melanoma. Chief Medical Officer from the American Society of Clinical Oncology is quoted as saying, "These are the sort of the run-of-the-mill skin cancers that so many people get. They are rarely lethal, but they're very persistent and they keep coming back." Participants included 386 people and were overseen by a study leader, Dr. Diona Damian. And more on this study when we get back. It's the time of the year that you need to start paying attention to.
You said you'd get yourself a real good job. You said you had connections in a hard place. Time has passed and I ain't seen a dollar yet. I buy our food and pay our rent, but that's about to stop. Oh, you bet, 'cause I've got no patience left. You said you'd love me till the day you die. You said you'd buy me flowers, diamonds and furs. Every night you come home high or drunk or worse. But here's a thing for you to see. I changed the locks and set you free. 'Cause you sure ain't nothing but a gift.
Come, let's take the A train. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is swing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Give it all the rhythm that you got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Hey, do I get a do-over? This has been a strange couple of hours. My sincerest apologies to all of you. When I get to the mic, I'm ready to work, and distraction after distraction after distraction. Most of the time I would ignore. Today I'm glad I did not. Vitamin B3, reducing cancer risk. Vitamins not only reduce cancer recurrence in this study by 23%, but also reduce precancerous skin conditions. Actinic keratosis, scaly skin patches that are a precursor to skin cancers, were reduced in study participants by 11% at the 3-month mark, 20% after 6 months on the vitamin supplementation, and 6 months after stopping the vitamin regimen. Participants again developed cancers at the same rate as they had done before the study, showing that B3 use needs to be continual to gain the benefits. Dr. Damien stated that the benefit wears off fairly quickly. You need to continue taking the tablets for them to continue to be effective. There are many places that one can go to acquire B3. I don't know what pharmacy you've got. Let's take a look at something here. Hold on.
Reach up and grab it.
Hang on.
I've got to get adjusted here.
There's a lot of supplements I get from a place called Dr. Ron's. Now, you can find Dr. Ron's online. Now, I don't have their catalog open, so I don't know what they've got for a B3 supplement. The two biggest pharmacies in this nation today are CVS and Walgreens. Now, for one reason or another, I prefer Walgreens. I have real problems with CVS. They're just, to me, it's a strange store. But that's because I'm not familiar with it. Walgreens has a brand called Nature Made. And I'm holding a particular bottle of theirs in my hand right now. It does not happen to be B3. It's magnesium. I've also got vitamin D in the Nature Made brand. You can get some very, very good buys. And when you begin to read the labels, you find there's no GMOs, there's no supplements, there's no, you know, I can't read this because I don't have decent light on here right now. Wait a minute, I can fix that. Yeah, that resolves that issue. Let's take a look and see what I can find on the label here. Come on, does not contain what? Where is it? Where is it? This comes out of Nature Made Nutritional Products out of Mission Hills, California. You can go to their website, www.naturemade.com. I'm going to assume that there's probably a good breakdown of what's in it, what's not in it. Nope, I'm not seeing it. This is interesting. Natural sources, no synthetic dyes, no artificial flavors, no preservatives, no yeast or starch, gluten-free. I'd go take a look there, see if they've got a B3 supplement. I'm sure they do. Let's talk a little bit about B3. It's one of the water-soluble B vitamins, also known as niacin or niacinamide. Niacin causes a flushing reaction, but niacinamide does not. Niacinamide is also used to prevent diabetes. Deficiency in B3 is called pellagra, a condition causing diarrhea, dementia, irritated skin. Oh, dementia, sometimes known as Alzheimer's. Now, pellagra was common in the early 1900s, but now mostly found in alcoholics or those with poor diets. B3 is used to treat schizophrenia, Alzheimer's disease, motion sickness, edema, acne, ADHD. Ooh, something natural for ADHD, huh? Nicotinamide, which maybe is what I was, nicotinamide. Specific form of vitamin B3, which was used in their study, made in the body from niacin. B3 is sold over the counter, is very inexpensive, and yet both forms of B3 can increase allergic reactions as they cause a histamine release. Other minor side effects can be dizziness, gas, upset stomach, and mouth pain. B3 can also increase irregular heartbeats. High doses of over 3 grams a day can cause high blood sugar, stomach ulcers, and other health problems. High doses of over 3 grams. Now, that is a problem to me because what's the grammage of these? Well, that's, once again, I don't have B3 in front of me. I've got magnesium. But there are some food sources of niacin. It's readily available in foods such as meat, which is probably being fed by GMO methods, fish, which could have been contaminated by Fukushima, eggs, green vegetables, and nuts, especially prevalent in brewer's yeast and organ meats. Does that mean drinking more beer will give you the source? I don't know that. Chicken contains 78 milligrams of niacin for every 100 grams. Mushrooms contain 5 to 6 milligrams per 100-gram serving, depending on the type of mushroom. Pork contains 10 milligrams of niacin in 100 grams. Peanuts have over 13 milligrams. But peanuts can cause some other problems. Sunflower seeds are another good source of B3, topping in at over 8 milligrams in 100 grams or 11 milligrams per cup. And a cup of avocado, once again, contains about 2.6 milligrams of niacin. Tuna and bacon are also good sources of vitamin B3. So when the body has enough niacin, it converts the excess into niacinamide. Interesting considerations, is it not? Well, let's go down one more path. Astragalus, adaptogenic herb. Never heard that word, adaptogenic. What about an herb for immunity, diabetes, cancer, stroke recovery? Going back to the marijuana thing, Dr. Dave says, I can tell you from personal experience, I used a strong multivariety marijuana extract dripped on a small mouth tumor over a few months. Every time I used it, it would shrink. When I'd stop, it would grow. So I said to hell with it, just completely erased it. It was a cancer. Possibly malignant, diagnosed by a clinician. Then it was obviously the pot that did it. As I said, start, stop, over and over. It's gone, hasn't returned for a long time. The marijuana stories continue to get interesting, do they not? Astragalus root extract, commonly used in Chinese herbal remedies. They're excellent tonics to create an increase in your energy levels. Astragalus root is an adaptogenic herb that helps to reduce stress, boost immunity, cure diabetes, cancer, and help us to recover from stroke. Now that is a mouthful, no pun intended. Astragalus roots are harvested from four-year-old plants, so the only part of the plant that's used medicinally. Its health properties are so unique that isolated compounds from its polysaccharides are being used as the basis for billion-dollar pharmaceutical drugs being used to treat some of mankind's most daunting health problems. Billion-dollar pharmaceutical drugs. Huh. Big Pharm had to stick their nose into it, didn't they? They'll screw it up. Astragalus root has been studied extensively for its effect on the immune system. Research shows that it stimulates the immune system in many ways. It increases the number of stem cells in bone marrow and lymph tissue, encourages their development into active immune cells, and appears to help trigger immune cells from a resting state into heightened activity. Astragalus has been studied progressively as an anti-diabetic. Studies show its ability to relieve insulin resistance and treat diabetes naturally. The herb's collection of saponins, flavonoids, and polysaccharides are all effective in treating and regulating type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Look, in the terms of doing a program like this, all I can do is share some fast, snap commentary with you. Later today, everything we've done on this program and more will be posted at drkelly.info. I want you to go take the time. Give me till late this afternoon. Obviously, when I get off the air here in less than 15 minutes, I've got running to do. I've got 7 packages to label. I've got to get to the post office. I've got to go meet my client to deliver her books to her. And And every couple of months, she orders some more books. She's very deeply involved with the church. I think she distributes these books to people in need. Let's talk about preventing cancer. Researchers from Texas have suggested that taking astragalus extract can prolong the life of cancer patients, while studies on animals have shown that astragalus has potential anti-tumor effects against certain types of cancer, including leukemia and melanoma. Some studies indicate that astragalus can cause apoptosis. and inhibit the growth of cancerous tumors. But there are some other health benefits of astragalus roots. Reduces cardiovascular disease, supports healing from chronic viral hepatitis, antibacterial qualities make it great for healing the common cold or flu. And it can be used as a topical remedy for healing open sores or wounds. It lessens asthmatic symptoms, slows the aging process, helpful in treating kidney disease, treats anemia, and lessens seasonal allergies. Oops, my wife could use that today. Well, as long as we're on the helpful side of things during this program today, as opposed to just complaining about the issues and Big Pharma, etc., etc., let's go back to Kelly's Kitchen once again. I want to share with you some of the foods you should be eating each and every day. You should aim to have the recommended number of servings from each of these daily dozen areas. Some of these we've covered already in an earlier brief statement. Cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, spring greens, radishes, turnips, tops, watercress. That's turnip tops. One serving a day. The serving is a half a cup chopped or quarter of a cup of broccoli or Brussels sprouts. Also add greens, including spring greens, kale, young salad greens, sorrel, spinach, Swiss chard. Two servings a day. A single serving is considered one cup of raw or a half a cup of cooked. Don't have a problem. Some of that stuff I can just eat right out of the package. What about other vegetables? Asparagus, beetroot, peppers, carrots, corn, courgettes, garlic, mushrooms, okra, onions, pumpkin, sugar, snap peas. Ooh. Squash, I love. Sweet potatoes, tomatoes. Two servings a day. A serving is one cup of raw leafy vegetables, half a cup of raw or cooked non-leafy vegetables, half a cup of vegetable juice. Quarter cup of dried mushrooms. Beans. Yep, got to make beans a part of your daily intake. Black beans, cannellini beans, black-eyed peas, butter beans, soybeans. Nope, pass on that. Baked beans, chickpeas, edamame, peas, kidney beans, lentils, miso, pinto beans, split peas, tofu, hummus. You call for three servings a day, and they get down to a whole breakdown. Berries. Berries are a good way to go. Any small edible fruit, grapes, raisins, blackberries, cherries, raspberries, strawberries. What about blueberries? Half a cup of fresh or frozen. Fresh is better. Maybe a quarter cup of dried if you're so inclined. Number six, other fruits. Apples, apricots, avocados. Avocados are fruits, not a veggie. Bananas, cantaloupe melon, clementines, dates, figs, grapefruit, honeydew melon, not to be confused with honey don't melon, kiwi, lemons, limes, lychees or lychees, mangoes, nectarines, oranges, papaya, passion fruit, peaches, pears, pineapple, plums, pomegranates, prunes, tangerines, watermelon. Apple, peaches, pumpkin pie. Nope, that's a different story. Number seven, flaxseed. Tablespoon a day. Nuts, a quarter cup a day. 2 tablespoons of peanut, almond, or other nut butter. Far better off staying with the almond product, folks. Stay away from the peanuts. They've got negative connotations to them. Spices, a quarter teaspoon of turmeric in addition to any other spices that you enjoy. Whole grains, buckwheat, rice, quinoa, cereal, pasta, bread. 3 servings a day, half a cup of cooked rice or pasta, 1 cup of cereal, a slice of bread, a half a bagel. There's your whole grains. We ain't talking about no white bread. By the way, exercise is needed. 90 minutes a day, moderate activity. Just walking. Hmm. water. 5 very large glasses of water a day. 12 ounce. 5 12-ounce glasses of water a day. If all you've got is 8-ounce glasses, do the math. Figure it out for yourself. There's other studies that come out there and say, oh, too much water, too much water. Others say, not enough water. Everybody's got a study for a reason. They've all got a point to prove, and they're going to make sure that the study, just like surveys, political surveys and otherwise, are written in such a manner that it's designed to sway the way people think. Water be very important. I think amongst the reasons I was as ill as I was while I was in New York is because I was not drinking enough water. And I got back here, chapped lips I've not had in years. Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, aye. You were young and so was I. I don't know what's cooking for Friday afternoon. We've done some, for me, unusual programs over the last month or so. The jazz pieces are simple. Last Friday evening, in our session segment, we featured the music of Chicago. If you get to a point on Friday afternoons, you're starting to wind into the weekend and you're tired of all the other nonsense, the political commentary, I tend to avoid it during that second program on Fridays. Recently, we, in tribute to Glenn Frey, we did a two-hour set on the music of the Eagles. And Glenn Frey with some of his non-Eagle-related singles. Did a blues set with Albert King and Stevie Ray Vaughan. Did a year-end set predominantly featuring the music of B.B. King, who we lost about a year ago. When Brother Ray gets here in June, our intent is to sit down at the microphone because he considers himself an expert on the music of Frank Zappa. Now, I've never been excited about Zappa, but as a poet or a writer, that's a whole different ballgame, baby. Yeah. Political commentary was simply amazing. We expect to do a two-hour live set in June on the music of Frank Zappa. And the Mothers of Invention. How many of you even remember that? We've done some country. We may do some more. I mean, why not? Let's go back into Alison Krauss. Purest voice I've ever heard in my life. People seem to enjoy her. It's clear. It's exquisite. My concern is back in late 2013, she had some surgery, having some difficulty with her voice, her throat. I've not seen or heard any new music from her since then. I hope she's all right. So join us. Excuse me. Friday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 Mountain, 5 Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern Time for a two-hour musical interlude called Sessions. Originally, we're going to call it Black Cat Jazz Sessions, but we've moved beyond all of that. Who knows what we're going to do? I suppose I could go back to Gary McFarland, America the Beautiful, or So It Used to Be. Best piece of music on that album was called 90 Miles an Hour Through Beer Can Country. Thanks for your patience and tolerance during this program today. We, as I say, had many interruptions and interludes. Hopefully we'll be back on track tomorrow. Don't forget, check out drkelly.info later this afternoon, early this evening, and we'll have all this stuff posted and updated. It'll keep you going. There'll be more as well. With glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. Thank you and good day.
And even the palms seem to be swaying when they begin. It again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart.